Welcome to the September 8th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and the sermon is entitled, The Day of Redemption, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Thank you for joining me along this day. This is the first time that I've ever preached a message, a lesson, anything from the book of Ruth. And so it has challenged me tremendously. As we close chapter number 3 of Ruth, we closed it with a day that was dawning. Many of you remember the night that Ruth came in and laid at Boaz's feet and startled him during the night and asked him to marry her. And he just told her to go back to sleep and we'll figure this out in the morning. They woke up real early. He sent her on her way to take care of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And he left off chapter number 3. We're saying, we're going to finish this thing today. We're going to settle the matter today. What happens when that day comes that you have been waiting for? You've circled it on your calendar. You're supposed to get the news. You've waited for so long, and that day comes. You know whether good or bad, something is going to happen. Ruth has found out that there is a Redeemer that is closer kin than Boaz. And that is the day that she's waiting. This is the time that she will figure out how she will be redeemed. It will be by one man or another in some way, and she does not know. And she has waited all night, and she has woke up early in the morning, and today is the day. It is the day of redemption. With that said, we open God's Word to Ruth chapter number 4. And we open it with a man who thought he was in position to redeem, but learned that he is not in position. And there is a matter to settle today. Maybe today it's not on your schedule, or it's not expected, or it's not to be delivered. Today is a special day, because today could be somebody in this room or somebody watching live stream. Today could be their day of redemption as well. And my prayer today, as we look at this, that you are reminded and you can recall the day that Jesus Christ redeemed you. So with that said, Ruth chapter number 4, let's look at the first 4 verses as we start out together. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. The first point today, as we talk about the day of redemption, is this. We're going to talk about the business of redemption. As this day started early for Boaz and for Ruth, Boaz knew this. He must get to work. He must get busy and find this person that is the so-called redeemer. That word is the goel, the kinsman, the nearest redeemer. Redemption must be settled today. We have discussed the responsibility of this near kinsman according to the Old Testament in past sermons. And I want to give you a quick update of the 4 ways that a redeemer could redeem something or someone. They could redeem someone who was sold into slavery according to the Bible. They could be the avenger of a crime or death in someone of the family. They could buy back land that was sold due to lack of funds or debt, or they could marry a widow and continue the family name. So this man understands, guess what? There is land that belonged to Elimelech. And that land is very valuable. It needed to stay in the family. And this man very quickly says, I will redeem it. How many of you, if the land right next to your house was for sale at a pretty good price, you would jump on it just like that, right? We would get that land so that nobody could build beside us. Well, that's the thought here. He says there is land available. I am going to redeem it. But notice where this takes place. It doesn't take place in the home. It doesn't take place in a place of business. It takes place at the place of business, which is the city gate. And at that city gate, that is where all the business took place. And we see him coming at the beginning of the chapter as Boaz comes to the gate and he sits down and he is just waiting. And the wording of scripture here is, this guy just happens to come by. This is the second time that that wording is used in this scripture. And how many of you know nothing just happens? God is orchestrating this, and I believe God brought this man by that gate and by Boaz. And Boaz just pulls him to the side and says, come on, sit down with me at the gate. We're going to bring 10 elders of the city around us, and we're going to take care of some business. Now, when we see this land that belonged to Elimelech, we understand that this man, he is unnamed in Scripture, and he is able before everyone to redeem that land, because they are witnesses to what this man will say. And Boaz puts him on the spot. How many of y'all like to be put on the spot? Yeah, we don't like that, do we? But in a very simple way today, I'm going to put you on the spot. As we look at this land belonging to Elimelech, and he says, if you want it, you can redeem it. For us today, here's what I want you to know. In our day of redemption, there are more than likely people that are in this room or watching live stream that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And I don't like to put people on the spot, but here's what I want you to know. Today is the day of your redemption. Today you can be redeemed, because Jesus Christ went to the cross for all of us. For God so loved the world. And so I don't want to put you on a spot, but I want you to know, I want you to sit down in your seat right here and hear this. Today is the day that we must settle this matter. I love this guy's answer. As he is proposed with this land that belonged to Elimelech, he immediately says, I will redeem it. But here's what you need to understand. Redemption is not just a process. Redemption is a person, and redemption comes with a price. On behalf of Elimelech, this man jumps up and says, yes, I am willing to pay the price, and I will redeem this land. We have this Redeemer, and he's unnamed in Scripture. But I want you to know how that translates to you and I today. We have a Redeemer in our midst today, and his name is Jesus. He is not unnamed. And that Redeemer has paid the price, and he has went through the process of putting our sins upon his shoulder and dying our death so that we could be redeemed. And our Redeemer is a person named Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The business of redemption involved a process, it involved a person, and it involved a price, and Jesus paid it all. Amen? The business of redemption has been taken care of. Look at verses 5 and 6. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Point number two today is simply this: property and posterity. Property and posterity. It's one thing to get a piece of land. It's another thing to take everything with it. It's amazing how quickly the message changes and the decision changes out of this man's mouth. One of the biggest factors that you must weigh in buying or purchasing something is its cost. How much are you willing to pay? I drive a 2005 truck. It's becoming 20 years old, and I look at that truck and I say, man, it's almost time for another truck. And then I look at the prices of a new truck and I say, this truck will continue to last me a long time, I pray. It's going to strengthen my prayer life if it doesn't, okay? But there has to be a cost. There's a cost associated with everything. Everything that we do. You go on vacation, you count the cost. You buy a new outfit, you count the cost. And when you follow Jesus, why shouldn't we count the cost? You count the cost in everything else that we do. We must count the cost as we follow Jesus. But as this man is now presented with the second part of redemption, there's a second part, and I believe this is Jeffrey's personal decision. I believe this was one of Boaz's tactics. He didn't give the whole package at first. He just said, hey, do you want the land? Oh, yes, I want the land. And he said, by the way, if you take the land, you got to take the woman with it. I see your eyes, guys. I like, don't make any moves towards your wife right now, okay? When the woman comes with it, suddenly it becomes a different deal. The I will redeem it became I cannot redeem it. And it's amazing to me what changes that. What changes this man's mind? I believe it was part of Boaz's plan, but I also believe it was more than if he could afford it or not. This redemption not only included property, but it included the responsibility to continue and to build a family's name. And so Boaz says, not only do you have to take the field, but you've got to take Ruth, the Moabitess, with it and raise up a family. And suddenly the cost became too high. What drove that cost? Was it that Ruth was a foreigner, that she was from Moab and she was not of the nation of Israel? Did that drive the price too high? It could have. Was it having to get married, period? Some of you say, I ain't doing that. And maybe he said, I'm not going through that. I'm older now. I'm experienced. I'm past that. I'm past a woman and kids and a family. I believe he gives a little glimpse of his heart. Look at verse number 6. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Those words in verse number 6, you're going to mess up my retirement plan. Now stay with me, church. I'm not too far out of the league here. How many of us make decisions because it's going to mess up our plans for the future. It may be exactly what God wants you to do. And you said, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm past that point. I look at my family, Terry and I, and the two teenage boys. If you asked me to raise a baby now, I would do it, but I would do it kicking and screaming right along with that baby. I'm past that. But what if it meant raising an orphan that didn't have a home? Would we change what we planned for what God would have us to do? This man says, I want the land, but I don't want the woman and the responsibility of family because it's going to mess up everything that I've already planned for. Maybe it's carrying on Elimelech's name. His would go away and Elimelech's would prosper. Is that why he said no? Is it the Moab culture? But the future plans, I believe, play a great importance in the cost of this man's redemption, in the cost of Ruth's redemption, if we can say that. When I boil that down, and I want you to know this, we just can't take part of the Jesus that we like. As I started out, everything has a cost. Luke chapter number 14. Listen to these words from Dr. Luke as he writes them. The 14th chapter, verses 26 through 29. He says this: if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? And verse number 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus taught on counting the cost of following him. And today we want parts of Jesus. We want the parts that we like, but when it gets hard and difficult and demands more of us, we say, no, God, I don't want that. I want redemption. I want to be saved. I want the promise of heaven, but I don't want all that you command me to do. How many of us are like this unnamed man standing before our Boaz, Jesus, and saying, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. It costs me too much. I want to come on Sunday mornings and sit for an hour and that's it. That's all I want to do. I don't want anything else. Jesus didn't die for you for 1 hour of the week. He died for your life. And we got to count the cost, church. We got to count the cost. The third point, verses 7 and 8. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony to Israel. Therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Point number 3, the giving up on redemption. The giving up on redemption. As this day of redemption has come, these two men are settling the matter, and the unnamed man tells Boaz this, I am not going to redeem it. And there is a process, we may chuckle at it, but in this process, this man must remove a shoe and give it to Boaz, signifying before all the witnesses that he is giving up his right to redeem. Now, I want you to there, and I want you to real quickly turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 25. This is where a lot of this is rooted in. I want you to know we're not making this up. I'm not just making this stuff up. But listen to Deuteronomy chapter number 25, starting with verse number 5. Listen to this. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up his brother a name in Israel, and he will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. And then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done that the man will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't bore you with that. But if you're reading chapter number four of Ruth, and you say, what in the world does a shoe have to do with redemption? Now you know. He takes his shoe off and gives it to Boaz and says, look, I am forfeiting any right that I have in this matter. And I understand that. So he was not bound the option to redeem. He had this choice, and based on his retirement plans, he says this, I am not willing to redeem this woman or this family, and I am forfeiting in a very public way. As I sat at my desk, I said, Lord, what in the world do you want me to do with this? A shoe been taken off and given to the other, possibility of spitting in one's face and just making a mockery. What do you do with that? Here's what the Lord placed on my heart. Today from Scripture, I can show you two reasons to take your shoe off from God's Word. If you go back to the book of Exodus chapter 3 verse number 5, we see where Moses was commanded to take his shoes off because he was on holy ground. Everybody remember that? Exodus chapter number 3, the command before God, take your shoes off because you are on holy ground. And then in Scripture today, in the book of Ruth, we see the shoes being taken off, forfeiting one's right of redemption. So today, when we think of redemption being forfeited, there are two reasons, and every one of us must do this in a very spiritual way. Every person in this room, every person watching live stream, must take your shoes off for one of two reasons today. You either come into this room and you spend an hour together in worship and you take your shoes off because you are worshiping the God of the universe. Or you take your shoes off saying, I want no part of this. As you showed up for worship today, why would you take your shoe off? Would you take your shoe off to worship? Or would you take your shoe off to forfeit your redemption? My prayer today is that we have a church nestled in the community of Clifford, Virginia, that will kick our shoes off because we know we are on holy ground. And we are here to worship the God of the universe. And we are here to praise and honor and give glory to His name. But we see this man in a very public way forfeiting his right of redemption, saying, I want no part of it. And the sad part of the reality is this. There will be some people that leave this service today doing the exact same thing. Two verses close our service today. Verses 9 and 10. And Boaz said unto the elders, and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I've bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's and of the hand of Naomi, And moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I've purchased to be my wife, to raise up of the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Point number four is simply this: Ruth is redeemed. Boaz makes an announcement, not only to the elders at the gate, but to the entirety of the people that were in this town, that he would forfeit his right. Now, this guy was forfeiting his right to redemption, and now Boaz would assume the redemption not only of Ruth, but of Elimelech and Naomi and the responsibility that came with that. Ruth was going to be his wife. He settled the matter this day, just like he told her he would. This matter will be settled today. He's going to raise up the name of a family. He's going to raise up the name of Elimelech. And oh boy, by making that promise, he does not know what he was promising the people and his God, what he would do. You know more about that in our next time together, 2 weeks, as we talk about the line of redemption. But on this day of redemption, here's what I want to ask you. You see that these town people are witnesses to the redemptive act of Boaz. And they proclaim this: we are witnesses. Today, you are a witness. You are a witness of God's redeeming grace and love for an entire world. When is the last time that you stood in a public place and said, I am a witness for Jesus? When I was in my 20s, I didn't like doing that. When I was in my 30s, I got nervous doing that. I'm in my 40s now, and I really don't care. I'll do it because I don't care what people think. But here's the reality of it. Boaz wasn't worried about what the town would say, wasn't worried about the backlash of this Moabite woman. He wasn't worried about anything. He just knows this: I'm going to redeem this woman and this family. No matter what anybody else says, they can object, they can abstain, but I will redeem it. It doesn't matter what they say. And everybody stood as a witness. From a little country of Moab, the garbage disposal in the eyes of Israel, God pulled a woman by the name of Ruth out of that nation, by instance of tragedy, brought her into a nation and a place that was not her own, and a people that was not her own. She took on their God, and she believed, and she served, and she loved. She loved and served her mother-in-law, and now she has received the word. She has been redeemed. Some of you can echo those words: I am a witness to redemption. Some of you can echo the words: I have been redeemed. But as we close this sermon down and talk about a day of redemption today, you may have been redeemed and you understand the cost, but you are now a witness of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And don't let anyone's opinion, don't let what any other people think or say or do tarnish you being a witness for Jesus Christ. And the second part of that is this: as we talk about a day of redemption, maybe you are here in this room and you've never publicly surrendered your life to Jesus. Why do we think it needs to be done in public? Because there are witnesses here. You know my belief, when you stand for Jesus, it needs to be public. When you stand in marriage, it needs to be a public thing. When you stand before people making any kind of decision, I believe you need witnesses. You need witnesses if you get married, if you sign a law-abiding contract. You've got to have a witness. Today, if you've never committed your life to Jesus, do so today. Don't worry about what others say. There's not a person in this room that's going to bash you or laugh at you or scorn you. They will celebrate you being redeemed. But how does that redemption happen? Today at this altar, the person of Jesus Christ has already paid the price. You can't do anything to earn or deserve that redemption. Just as Boaz had to be willing and pay the price to redeem Ruth, Christ was willing and paid the price to redeem us. And at this moment of invitation, I'm asking all of us to do one thing, but it has two different meanings. Today, at this moment of invitation, will you just spiritually slip your shoes off and worship your Redeemer or reject your Redeemer? Slipping your shoes off one way or another answers that call of what Christ has done for you. I believe we are on a holy ground, a holy place before a holy God, doing holy business right now. This is not the preacher doing it. This is God, the Holy Spirit, working right now. And you know if you've been redeemed, and you know if you haven't. So spiritually, as you slide those shoes off, may God direct our worship in this place. If you need Jesus Christ, He has paid the price. If you have received Him as your Savior, we need to be the witnesses. The day of redemption is here.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.